You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Remember Aesop's fable of the tortoise and the hare, where the lightning-fast hare ultimately loses the race to the tortoise, who just kept plodding along? Detroit News business columnist Daniel House thinks we might be seeing an auto version of the tortoise and hare shaping up. Daniel, who's the hare and who's the tortoise?
Well, the hare would be General Motors under Mary Barra, the CEO, probably the hottest CEO in the auto industry today. Very popular, very smart, very respected. Really, I think, leaning forward aggressively, and I mean that in the business sense, in the way she's running the company. Got a really solid team. I think Wall Street thinks that they're executing pretty well. The tortoise is Ford Motor Company, which is being led by Jim Hackett for the last 2 years. At the end of this month, it'll be 2 years in the job for him. And taking a lot of criticism from investors, employees carping about, we don't understand what he's trying to do. We don't understand what he's even saying sometimes. Even though he's speaking in our language, he's not speaking our language. The language of the auto industry, the language of Ford, because he's not a car guy. But I think you've seen this week with their first quarter numbers some recognition that things are starting to fall together. They are doing some interesting partnerships in the autonomous vehicle space and in the electric vehicle space that I think has got some people paying attention. So I think the net-net here is that they're starting to get their gearing, to borrow an automotive phrase, and move forward. Now, you know, these companies can't stand being compared to each other. I've learned that over many years as both a beat reporter and as a columnist.
But you plunged in and did it today.
But I did it. Well, I kind of did it
kinda
today.
Kind of, sort of.
Kind of, sort of. But I didn't want to be too direct about it because I think oftentimes that can be a little unfair. You know, it can't, because each of these companies have their own challenges. Some of them are similar. Some of them are very different. In the case of Ford and GM, you have very different leadership issues that they've been contending with for the last 3, 4, 5 years. GM's leadership has been a lot more stable under Mary Barra. Ford's has not been as stable, and they're trying to contend with that. But I do think you're starting to see out of Ford an ability to execute. Now, I hasten to add, one quarter does not a turnaround make.
Right.
So we got to see how this progresses. Success really is about continual, consistent execution. And in this case, you've got to be essentially living in two worlds. You've got to be living in the world of trucks and SUVs, both in North America and in other parts of the world, but also mobility, autonomy, and electrification.
And as your column points out, it seems that under Hackett's leadership, Ford's doing that.
I think the evidence is much stronger that they are. You know, under Mark Fields, who he succeeded, Mark was the guy who followed legendary Alan Mulally. Mark, I think, was very uncomfortable with trying to straddle these two worlds. And he would give some rhetorical flourishes towards electrification, but then he would always say, but keeping ourselves firmly planted in the truck business. And it's like, okay, we get it. But I think the board came to the realization that he really didn't have a strategic plan and how they were going to be able to drive both tracks, which I think is required of all car companies today, global ones that expect to be contending, you know, the big six, however you want to count them. Those people all have to be moving on dual tracks or they're going to be left behind.
You're right, and I love your turn of phrase. You say, I wonder if Hackett's wonky side marinated in the Bay Area business culture of innovation and risk-taking isn't a better fit for the times. Why?
Well, you know, historically, this town and this industry has had more or less dictatorial CEOs. We then started to move into an era, I think in the last 10 years, where they tended to be more coach-like. I learned about this from David Cole at the Center for Automotive Research many years ago, that the era of the imperial CEO has kind of died in a lot of cases, not in all companies and certainly not in all cultures, but I think it has changed. Jim Hackett is a guy who is intellectually very attuned to kind of the Silicon Valley, innovative, risk-taking, thinking about things, redesigning the product that we're selling. And I think he's asking some really salient questions. I mean, when you're a car company and you make product mistakes, the United States, Europe, China, and India, there's got to be a problem with your product development processes. And that's the question he's asking. He's saying, look, guys, if we have a problem in one part of the world, maybe we got a problem in that part of the world. But we got the same problem in all the parts of the world. So that tells me that we got problems in our processes. And that's one of the things he's been pushing them to do, is that let's look at the process, how we're designing the product. We can't design a product, one small car, and expect it to sell in India, China, Western Europe, and the United States. Because in India, it's going to be too expensive. In China, it might be too small or too large. In Europe, it might be just right. And in the United States, nobody's going to buy it. So we have to relook at our processes. And he's bringing a lot of that in that thinking into the company, I think. And people are starting to respond to it. My colleague Ian Thibodeau was in an interview yesterday, and he said, you know, people are really looking at things in a different kind of way. Now, hasten to add, what's that going to look like in 12, 18, 24 months? And we don't know yet.
Well, we will be watching. I know you'll be keeping a close eye on Jim Hackett and his team at the Glass House on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn, CEO of Ford Motor Company. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, Daniel, thanks so much.
Thank you.